Let's Go to the Movies, an award season podcast. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 10. On today's episode, I will be recapping all of the films nominated for the Oscars this year, giving some little fun facts, tidbits, things you can toss out if you're going to a party, and also locking in my final picks for the ballot. So let's just jump right in. The Oscars are finally here. I'm dropping this episode the day of the show, so hopefully you'll be able to catch this before the show airs. Here's just a final recap of all the movies, and then I'm just going to drop a few little fun facts in that I remember from each of them that have stuck out to me. And that'll be kind of some nice little tidbits you can throw out if you're watching it with someone or you're going to a watch party. Just make you look like you know more than you might know. So we'll start in alphabetical order for the Best Picture nominees. American Fiction. Essentially, that movie is about an author who realizes that the people in charge of the publishing world do not really care what black authors are writing. They just want to have black authors writing black stories that they think are black stories. So he gets really annoyed by that, and he decides to write a story as a joke that ends up reaching all of this acclaim, kind of just proving his point that they don't care what he actually wants to write. Solid film. Still kind of a question mark for me. I can't still place why. I can't decide if I really like it or not. But it is a solid movie. Jeffrey Wright is great in it. Music is great. Sterling K. Brown is great. This movie was directed by, let me double check the name. I apologize that I am not more prepared at the moment. The director of this film, it's his first feature debut, so that's pretty solid. Cord Jefferson, excuse me for forgetting that. So that's a little fun fact about him. Directorial debut. Overall, solid film. Next is Anatomy of a Fall. That is directed by Justine Triet. It is an international film, but was not actually put in the international category. The country that produced it did not put it up for that. So kind of interesting. Kind of harmful, in my opinion. I think it's going to limit its chances of winning. Oh, so that's kind of confusing still to me. Like, why did that not happen? Anyhow, this movie is about a woman whose husband dies. He falls off of a balcony at their house, and they're trying to determine if she pushed him, he jumped, he committed suicide, he accidentally fell. Like, that's kind of just what the whole movie is about, is figuring this out in the form of a trial that is occurring in France. Very fascinating. Also just interesting if you don't know a lot about the French legal system, which I do not. The thing that was most appealing about this film, I think, was the ambiguity. You never actually find out what's true, if she's actually guilty or not. It was also said that the director wouldn't tell Sandra Hüller what was actually true, if she actually was guilty or not. So that left an ambiguity in the actress and how she portrayed it. Super, super interesting way to approach that, I think. So as I mentioned, not being represented by France in the Oscars, kind of shameful in my opinion, limiting its chance, but great film, great film. Barbie, of course. Do I even need to explain Barbie to anyone? Probably not. It is essentially about Barbie in Barbie Land, and her reality is slowly crumbling apart. She has to go to the human world to figure out what's going on, and then save Barbie Land from the patriarchy. Greta Gerwig, of course, directed this film. Her and Margot Robbie, of course, did not get nominated in their direct categories. They are nominated in general, though, so let's not forget that, and then let's not diminish the fact that America Ferrera is nominated, so that's solid for her. I mean, my biggest fun fact about this one is just they basically wiped out the supply of pink paint to create the sets for this film. Yeah, so hopefully this will take a few things. I don't think it's going to do as much of a sweep as people hope it might. Next up, we've got The Holdovers, which was the Paul Giamatti film. And scrolling back up to my notes that I have. Alexander Payne, of course, is the director. Essentially, it's about a boarding school in Massachusetts during Christmas break. Students that aren't able to go home because their families are out of town or whatnot, they stay at the school. Paul Giamatti's character is tasked to stay and watch all of these students. A group of the students ends up going on a ski trip. One of the fathers ends up coming to pick everybody up. But one kid remains with Paul Giamatti, with Divine Joy Randolph's character. And it's essentially just about them spending Christmas together as strangers, essentially, and those relationships that form. I did enjoy this film. I'm calling it an anti-holiday film, but I did enjoy it. An interesting little fact that I remember from this movie is that they used real snow in all of the scenes. Like, they didn't add in snow in post-production. Like, they brought snow in from all over New England. Some dedication right there. It's been getting a lot of attention for acting, so it's got some strong possibility. There is something kind of weird going on with it currently. It's being accused of plagiarism by another screenwriter. I don't know if that's going to impact much at the moment, since it's just kind of in the allegation stage, but it is kind of an interesting development to pop up so suddenly. So we'll see how that plays out. Killers of the Flower Moon is next. Of course, Martin Scorsese directed this film. Super solid. I enjoyed it more than I expected. Essentially, this story is the Osage people in Oklahoma area, back in the early 1900s, they discover that they are sitting on an oil field. They strike the oil. They start making tons of money. And then all the white people start showing up to try to take all the money and take all the rights to the land. And it's essentially just about all of that occurring. And the Osage people are being killed off by the white people because of the money. It's kind of also the start of the FBI actually investigating cases like this. So just kind of a sad little tale we have here. One of the little fun facts I had for this film, of course, there was a lot of cameos by musicians. So that was a cool little thing to pick up on. And obviously just the fact that they filmed on location in Osage County. And they cast a lot of people from the Osage Nation to be in the movie. So there's a lot of true representation, which is really cool. Maestro, directed by Bradley Cooper, is about Leonard Bernstein's life, kind of goes through the decades, and also his relationship with his wife, played by Carey Mulligan. I still am like, about this one. I don't think I enjoy the plot line. I enjoy the film work and how it was put together, but I struggle with the story. Apart from that, solid movie if you like this kind of thing. Not, you know, I always try not to totally hate on things, so it's decent. The fun fact I have for this one is essentially just Scorsese and Spielberg were actually set to direct at one point, and both of them turned it down for other reasons. Scorsese was working on The Irishman. Spielberg essentially just said he wanted Bradley Cooper to do it. He thought he was a better choice because he saw A Star Is Born, was really connected with that. So that's an interesting little note. And then, of course, my favorite fun fact with this film is that the scene where they're directing the Mahler Symphony is all real life audio. Like, the orchestra's actually playing it. It was captured in real time. Like, there's no post effects to add the layer of music in. And then they pulled in all of the old cameras and stuff and lighting equipment to capture that scene, which is very impressive to me. So that's the one thing I do really like about that film. Oppenheimer, directed by Christopher Nolan, essentially just following the development of the atomic bomb by Oppenheimer. and then when they use the bomb, and then kind of the aftermath that he deals with. Obviously, I love Christopher Nolan, so I think this movie is excellent. I feel like some of the fun facts for this one are a little too on the nose. Like, you know that he used all practical effects. Like, we know he detonated a real-life bomb. They actually created the little town set out in the West. I want to say it was New Mexico or Utah. I think it was New Mexico, yeah. So, just a lot of that practical film aspect and not a lot of post-production work, which is always very impressive. And the fact that it's all on film on top of that. So, very strong chance of this. I have a very strong suspicion it's going to sweep everything. So, we'll just have to see if that happens or not. Next is Past Lives, which I loved. That movie is by Celine Song. This is actually her directorial debut as well. So that and Cord Jefferson, that's a cool little note. It is about two people who meet when they're children, and then it kind of follows them every decade or so, catching up with where they are and in relation to each other as well, and kind of just following the way that people come and go in your life and the impact they have and the effect that that has on you as a person. And just this idea of souls mingling with each other. And maybe you're not destined to be together, but you still make an impact. And I just really, really loved it. I think the only other fun fact I had about this one, apart from it being Song's directorial debut, was just that the lead actors, when they were preparing for the role, they were directed to not have any physical contact before they had their on-screen reunion, so that that moment would be very genuine and you could actually feel all of the tensions and nervousness. So just kind of a cool way to approach it, I think. I don't know if this is going to take any awards, but it is lovely that it is being recognized in some capacity. Next up is Poor Things, directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. Of course, Emma Stone is the lead in here. And this movie, let's see, how do I explain this one? It's essentially a woman. She tries to jump off of a bridge to end her life. Willem Dafoe's character rescues the body, and then this woman was pregnant at the time, so he takes the brain of the baby, puts it in the woman. The woman is then this Emma Stone character that you're seeing in the film. So essentially, she's learning how to be a person that is an adult body with a human, with a baby's brain. And then she's kind of journeying outside of Willem Dafoe's home and garden and venturing out into the world to kind of figure out who she is and what this world is. This is a very, very different film. It has a lot of unique production design, a lot of unique color. It's very dramatic. It's very exaggerated. They did a lot of unique things with filming it to create the color, and I think that's my fun fact with this one. They used Kodak 35mm Ektachrome color reversal motion picture film stock. So essentially the layman's terms of what that means is it's just they use a particular film that creates a beautiful color because it has a very fine grain, rich saturation, great for daylight shooting. They created all these sets in the studio, filmed it this way, and that's why you get all of these kind of vibrant, over-the-top feel and look to everything. And I think that is super awesome. This one is likely going to win some things for sure because it is so well done. I will also say it's one of the Lanthimos films that I actually walked away with enjoying and not being completely unsettled by, so I will give it that. And the last Best Picture nomination this year is The Zone of Interest, which, of course, is the ultimate unsettling film of the year, if not the decade. Ooh, Jonathan Glazer directed that film, saying hooey because I know what I'm about to get into in explaining it. This movie is examining the day-to-day lives of a German commandant living with his family. They live directly behind the wall of the Auschwitz camp. And so it's essentially just noting that contrast in that type of lifestyle and that type of employment, for lack of a better word. This movie, as I mentioned, very unsettling. This movie is more of a movie of sound to me. The sound of this film is the most jarring thing I feel like I've seen, or excuse me, that I've heard in, I can't even tell, I don't know if I've ever seen a film like this with the sound. I think that's the biggest fun fact, to be honest with you, is that you never see inside the camp. You're only ever hearing the things that occur in the camp. They also used a lot of just set cameras, like let the actors do their things. They didn't really direct them or have the types of shots you would expect, close-ups, POVs, reaction shots, things of that nature. So just a very unique way of portraying this story. And it has stuck with me since seeing it over a week ago. I think it will likely win sound design based on that note. Anything else is a toss-up. International feature, of course, is what else it's nominated for that it has a strong chance. So, of course, we'll just see how that one goes. So that is going to be the overview of Best Picture nominees this year. Recapping total nominations, Oppenheimer had the most, coming in at 13. Poor Things had the second most at 11. Killers of the Flower Moon had 10. Barbie, 8. Maestro, 7. And then American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, tying for 5 total nominations. So my overall thoughts are, as I mentioned when describing Oppenheimer, I think Oppenheimer is going to just sweep kind of everything. So it'll be kind of pleasantly surprising if it doesn't, really. I'll just go through kind of my ultimate ballot picks now. For Best Picture, I am going to go with Oppenheimer. That was my original choice when they announced the nominations. I think I'm going to just stick with it, kind of go with my gut kind of thing. For Best Director, I am going to go with Christopher Nolan. That was my original selection there. This is a really strong category. I don't think I would be upset with any of them winning. Like Justin Trier, Martin Scorsese, Yorgos Lanthimos, Jonathan Glazer, also all super strong directors for the respective films that they did. For Best Actor, I think it's going to be a toss-up between Paul Giamatti and Cillian Murphy, but I think I'm going to lean towards Cillian Murphy for this one. For Actress, I think it's going to be a strong toss-up between Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone. I'm going to lean with Lily Gladstone here, but I'm not 100% on it, to be honest with you. For Best Supporting Actor, I think Robert Downey Jr. is going to definitely take this one. Best Supporting Actress, I'm locking in Divine Joy Randolph. For Best Adapted Screenplay, this one is a little tricky. I am not really sure at all. These are all strong stories. I think I'm going to go with Poor Things, but I also think The Zone of Interest has a strong contention there. For Best Original Screenplay, I think I'm going to go with Anatomy of a Fall. Past Lives is my hopeful choice. But again, also very solid category this year. For Best Cinematography, I am torn personally between Poor Things and Oppenheimer, but I think I'm going to lock in my pick of Poor Things, just with how elaborate they made all these sets and then the specific film that they used to create these color palettes. For Best Song, I think I'm picking What Was I Made For. I know that one's been sweeping in other award shows this year, so it has a strong chance of maintaining that momentum. For Best Costume Design, I'm also torn between Barbie and Poor Things here. I think I'm leaning towards Barbie because of all of the attention to detail they had with recreating actual Barbie outfits. And then I did read an article about how for each specific Barbie, they tied in elements that made them unique to the actress and like the character. And there's a lot of detail that went into that. So I think that would be a fun one that they could win. For Best Sound Design, I originally had been tossing between Maestro and Oppenheimer, but that was before I saw The Zone of Interest. So now I definitely think The Zone of Interest will take this one. I honestly can't see how it wouldn't, because that's literally the whole film is sound. If I had a backup choice at this point, I think it would be Oppenheimer. But again, I feel like it'd be a a travesty if the Zone of Interest did not take that award. For Best Original Score, this one is tough. My original pick was Ludwig Göransson with Oppenheimer. I think I'm going to just stick with that one. Ooh, but that is a tough one. There isn't like a firm standout for me this year. But then I always also think back to The Social Network year when that won. And it's one of the scores that annoys me the most. So who's to say? For Best Live Action Short, prefacing that I didn't see the shorts or the documentary films this year. I didn't really get a chance to do that. Sometimes it's something that I am able to do. Sometimes I don't get the chance. And unfortunately, this was one of those years. So just kind of making some guesses here. Live action short, I'm going with The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Animated short, going with Our Uniform. Documentary feature, going with 20 Days in Mariupol. Documentary short, going with The ABCs of Book Banning. For Best International Feature, I am tossing between The Society of the Snow and The Zone of Interest. Both are the last two films I watched. Both have been just sticking in my head since seeing them. I really do think it might go towards The Zone of Interest since it has a little more attention overall, but I would not be upset if Society of the Snow was able to take that. For Best Animated Film, I know Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse did win, so there is a strong chance that the sequel could win, so I'm not discounting that one completely. I think, though, this could probably go to The Boy and the Heron. That's going to be my pick here. For makeup and hairstyling, I initially was leaning towards Poor Things, but I think after watching all of them, I'm going to change my pick to Society of the Snow, because they did have to, just with how they had to show these people, they had to have the makeup progressively show that they were stranded for longer and longer. They had to portray like the injuries, the death, the dehydration, starvation, just all of those things. And it looked very real. Like, it honestly looked like these people were stranded in real life. Very strong. For production design, I'm tossing between Barbie and Poor Things, but I think I'm leaning more towards Barbie. But it's a very non-confident lean. But I would like to see Barbie win a few things, and I think the production design was amazing for that movie. For film editing, picking Oppenheimer here, I know that that is a huge element of Nolan's films, and I'm just a sucker for him, so there you go. For visual effects, I feel like these are always kind of a toss-up, partly because I don't know enough about what they're looking for in this category, so I'm just going with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 because I like that movie. So we'll just see what happens with that one. So yeah, those are my official picks for my ballot this year for Oscars 2024. The show airs, as of this recording, Sunday, March 10th, this evening, daylight saving time, nonsense. And I will be back on my next episode to discuss the recap, and we'll see how it all goes, see who wins and who takes the top title. I hope you had a great time watching these films this year. This was a really good variety, I think, from the past few years. Feels more like we're kind of back on track after the pandemic, which is nice. And yeah, happy viewing. And as I mentioned, on my next episode, I will be recapping the award show itself, discussing highs and lows of the night, who won the ballot contest in my friend group, and also who I got wrong and right, and any, you know, the surprises, shocks, things of that nature. So I hope you'll join me for the final episode of the podcast, and as we wrap up season 5, and as we wrap up the 2023 movie season. Thank you for listening today, and for joining me on yet another trip to the movies.